Welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Scott Taylor.
And my name is Tyler Hall. We are both the evangelists here at the West Mason Church of Christ. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of You Are From God. We are in the middle of our study of the book of Ephesians. If you are just now joining us, or this is the first episode that you're listening to, we encourage you to go back and check out those other episodes of chapters 1 through 3. Today we're going to be talking about Ephesians chapter 4, and Scott, this is really where there's a kind of a shift in the book, and it's in, right here in the middle of the book where Paul's sort of been writing and building up, stressing these riches, these blessings, the incredible opportunity and the relationship that we have with God through his son Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. Now comes the application in the second half of the letter. Now it's going to say, because you have all these riches, this is how you're going to use those riches. Because you have this wealth, this is the way that you are to walk. He's going to use this idea of walking several times in the next few chapters. And it's going to start all off here in chapter 4, Scott, with this idea of unity. And so, again, the transitionary phrase here is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, where he writes, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So you understand reading this, Scott, that part of the way that we walk, part of the way that we have unity, is that there's this concern for one another, that we're bearing with one another, that we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's going to explain in the next few verses what that looks like. But we have to understand, if we are striving to live for God, God wants a unified people. God wants people who are at peace with one another, who are encouraging one another. And the understanding that we are, because God is our Father, because Jesus has bought us and redeemed us, we now have this family that we're relating to here in this life.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, and you'll hear people talk about this, that we're not talking about unity at all cost conversation. This is the understanding of we are walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. It's not walking in a manner worthy that we think we should be walking. It's understanding what his will is. And he gets into this, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And the idea that you have this unification, this understanding that there's one that we can follow. It's not many. It's understanding that if he's going to be the Father, if he's going to be the Lord of our lives, that we're going to follow and do the things that he has commanded us to do. And specifically, to your point, this walking in a manner that is worthy of the calling. It comes down to truly wanting to live this life, understanding verses 2 and 3 in particular, how we're giving up ourselves, basically, the sacrifice and living for him. And certainly you see that here in the beginning. And it's not just that he throws this book at us for us to follow. He gives us examples. He gives us understanding of how this is going to occur. And he's laid a foundation as we go forward in this chapter of how this is all going to happen. And it starts out, Tyler, with this idea in verse 10, that it's he who descended is himself, also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. So it starts off with the head, the understanding of who he is, and then it kind of goes from there.
Yeah, so you have this idea again that he's not just said, here's the book, good luck, I'll see you at the end if you make it. But the fact that, again, building from that head, that there's these members of the bodies. And so when Paul's writing, he's giving the specific examples he has in his day. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, all these foundational pieces that are building up the rest of the body. And it says in verse 12, this is all for the equipment of the saints for the work of the ministry, this building up of the body of Christ. So God is giving us what we need, the strength, the opportunity. It's all by his power. He is putting the members of the body, as Paul will write to the Corinthians, exactly where he wants them. He is putting us in a way that is going to be beneficial for us, beneficial to the body. And again, what's the purpose? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We can all understand Scripture alike, if we're willing to. We can all come to the Bible and seek that unity. And again, our problem so many times, Scott, is, well, I'm set in my ways. I've been taught this way my whole life, or this is the way that I've become comfortable with, and I don't know when I meet somebody whose ideas are different than me, you know, are we going to just say, well, let's agree to disagree? Sometimes there's the opportunity, as Romans chapter 14 will say, where there's matters of opinion that are differing here that might change certain aspects of the way you live, but the core foundation has to be this unity of spirit and the bond of peace, so that we're not just trying to be, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home because we're not going to be united, but instead it's this mature manhood that he talks about, that we are trying to be more and more and more like Christ and be united with him. And to be united with Christ means to be united with his church. And it can seem so discouraging when you look out over the religious landscape of the world today and just see so many different religions and then denominations within religions that say, well, this is how it really is. Not everybody can be right. So this is the idea where it says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God. There is one way to him through Jesus. So we have to understand that when God says that, he's very clear about there is unity through one way. And so my goal as an individual, if I'm trying to live as a child of God, that's the walk that I want to be walking. That's the desire I want to have. I want to have unity with people of a like mind to say, we are going to come and try to do what the Bible says as close as possible as we are striving to seek God's authority in all things and not just man's.
And that's the interesting thing as he goes forward, because it's the idea of, look, this can't be something. If you are living the life and you are equipped, as he says in verse 12, to do this, you've been built up. The idea, as you were talking about, the mature man, there's no reason that you are like children being tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is head, even Christ. And we'll get into the next part in just a second. But it's understanding that the way that he set it up is the idea that me as an individual, you as an individual, are able to look at this book, able to read what he said, able to understand how he has equipped us, and we're not to be tossed back and forth and to and fro. Today, it's almost like you could use a tennis match as an example. If you're watching tennis and you're going back and forth looking both ways, he can't do that scripture or spiritually. The idea of, oh, that sounds good. Oh, this sounds good. It's from a doctrinal standpoint, there's one way, and it's the understanding of following God's way. It's not my way. Mm-hmm. It's God's way. And ultimately, as he says in verse 15, this always comes down to speaking the truth in love. And we're not talking on this program or in this podcast and the others trying to get people to follow our way. It's the desire to get God's word, his word of love out, so people can follow and do what he has to say, and understanding that he's the head. We're just fit together where we're supposed to be in the body. And again, all about love. And that's the idea sometimes that we kind of miss. We are unified by him because of love. And it's not because of the fact that it's us and anything that we're doing. As he said in verse 7, it's according to the grace that he has given us, this great gift that he has given us. And that's really, if we keep our minds focused on that, it's amazing how grounded and the foundation of where we are truly is on love and trying to follow and do what God has said.
Right. And so, again, this might be a good point before we move on to just invite you, the listener, if you do have questions about what it looks like to be united, if you have questions on certain spiritual topics or lifestyle issues or anything, how we worship God, that you want to hear us discuss on this program, if you have questions or if you have points that you'd like us to address, please, we would love to hear from you. You can send us a message at westmasonchurchofchrist.org. Reach out to us there. Send us a message on the Connect section. There's a way to send us an email there. You can certainly give us a phone call here at our building. It's 513-398-9607. That's 513-398-9607. But again, we'd love for you to reach out and contact us. If you have any questions about what this means, this, Scott, again, is so vitally crucial because it means being part of the family, being part of the body. And if there's any question that anybody ever has about those things, the goal is that we would all open the Bible together and come to that common understanding around this one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so again, Paul again is building his case here. I want you all to be united. So what's it mean to be united? It means that you're all going to have this mind about you that you're, as he says in verse 17, that they're not going to walk as you used to walk. So there's this walk that now you're abandoning, which he calls the futility of the mind, or as the Gentiles have been walking. He says in verse 18 that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. When you think about callousness, that's the word that jumps out in my translation anyway to me. I think about when I play guitar for any given amount of time, the calluses build up on your fingers and it's that skin hardening and you can't feel as much afterwards. And so we become desensitized to sin when we've walked in this way so long. And so God's saying through Paul here that you have to understand this isn't the way you learned in Christ in verse 20. You've learned how to put that way off, to repent of that way of living and to come to him in that truth and love. to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. He says, you are being duped. Your mind is darkened. You do not understand truth when you're walking outside of God. That is a key fundamental to understand. But even more fundamental is that we have the opportunity, as he says in verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on a new self. So there's this complete changing, and he talks about it like changing clothes, Scott, but it's this idea that there is a full 180 degree change, and that it is 100%. It's not, well, okay, I'll give God my Sunday mornings and maybe a Wednesday night here or there. This is, I'm giving him my life. He has my heart, he has my mind, he has my eyes. They are completely devoted to him.
And that's the interesting thing if you continue on here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, is he says, this isn't something that you just say. This is something that's going to be seen in your action. So therefore, because of that, you lay aside all falsehood, speaking truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. And so, again, you have this family aspect that's going on here. You pick up in verse 26, and this is a verse that you hear fairly often by people. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, he's not suggesting nor saying that if it's almost the sun going down, that it's okay, that you only have 2 minutes to be angry, but if it's morning, you can be angry all day. The point of what he's saying is take care of the situation now, understanding that if you continue in this anger, there's a potential it's going to open up doors to sin, and that's going to lead to various other things. He gets into the stealing piece of it, but instead of stealing, make sure that you're doing something to take its place. It's very similar to Jesus talking about you can get rid of the demons, but if you don't fill it with anything else, it's going to come back worse, and it's going to bring friends with it. It's the idea here, very similar to Romans, the 7th chapter and 8th chapter as well, the idea if you don't fill your mind with the Spirit, as he talked about earlier, you're going to be able to, or you're going to go back to doing these things that you shouldn't be doing. And then it gets into your tongue. In verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only with such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. It's understanding that we have an amazing opportunity to influence so many different people. And we can't just allow, in this case, flippant words to come out. And he's going to get into this a little bit more in chapter 5. But it's the idea of what we put into our minds and whether or not we truly have put off that old self and a desire to encourage people and help people and to love them as we should, whether it's our words, whether it's from the stealing standpoint, anger standpoint, whatever it is, that we are solely focused on helping people find God.
Right. And so he kind of sums it up, I think, in verse 30, right? All these different aspects that you're turning away from the evil and pursuing the good now. He says in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. We talked about this back in the episode on Ephesians chapter 1, that Paul mentions that this is one of the blessings, that you are sealed by him. He is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit, the manifestation in the word that we see, the idea that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, this is the guarantee, the hope, the promise, the incredible trust that we can have in him. But if we're going to have that and then live like it's not real for us, it says that we are grieving this part of God. We are causing God heartache. And so we have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let's live like it now. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is not the kind of life that God wants for you, but instead be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, some of the, you talk about words, you talk about the forgiveness aspect. These are things that it's really easy to say, to bring it under control, to truly forgive and understand the whole relationship of my relationship with God is how I will end up viewing and end up treating other people. And so if I'm having a struggle with a relationship with somebody else, or if I'm struggling with forgiving somebody else, I need to go back and realize how much God in Christ has forgiven me and the incredible relationship I have with him there, or can have with him if I'm working at it.
Yeah, it's interesting as we go forward, and if you're listening and you're following along with this, the idea that chapter 5 really continues the same point. We're not going to get into chapter 5 in this podcast, but as you are reading this, just continue to read and understand what he is referring to, the idea of comparing us to Christ and the understanding that we can be like him, that we can be tenderhearted, that we can forgive each other, as we just read, and the understanding that if you continue down the anger road and you continue down the unwholesome words proceeding from your mouth. It is amazing how bitterness can hold on to somebody, and you're allowing somebody to control your emotions and your thoughts that have no right to control them. I mean, it's amazing how often that occurs and how we can get caught up in that. And that's not what a child of God is striving to do. We are to be like the head, as he talks about here, and striving to forgive each other and to do those things. And the hardest part, Tyler, sometimes is that it's easy for me to want to be forgiven, but to forgive somebody for doing something to me and to always remember that if it were compared to Jesus and his willingness to forgive us, that makes it a little easier mm-hmm. to understand that. And that's hopefully what we leave with this, just be united, striving to serve him and doing all that we can.
Yeah, certainly. Next time we're going to be talking about Ephesians 5 again. We encourage you to join us, do some reading here in the next 2 weeks before we come back. We thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Again, we'll just reiterate, if you have any questions or like a topic to be seen or to hear on this program in the future, you can reach out to us, learn more about the congregation here and the Lord's people at West Mason by going to westmasonchurchofchrist.org. There you can also reach out to us, send in topic or questions for this program, and find sermon audio and articles and other spiritual resources for you there. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time here on You Are From God.